Grace to you and peace.
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said, come back tomorrow.
If you were really great and powerful, you'd keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? You ungrateful creatures, think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
I want to take you behind the curtain this morning. I want to give you a little glimpse into the process and thought of how we get to here, this moment that we share together. It starts always with the scripture. This reading from Acts today, that's the series that we're in, is part of the longest of the speeches in Acts given by Stephen that is typical of all of the others. It's looking back at the life and ministry of the work of the church and the people of God and understanding how they all come together in the person of Jesus. But in and amongst that is this truth that Bella just read for us. Because of his faith and his proclamation, Stephen was killed. And so we have these reactions. As much as we know the context of the text, we have to then process with how should I feel, how should I react. I could be angry that an injustice has been done, that somebody who was innocent was killed without process and a trial. I could be sad that a person who would proclaim God's news might be treated in that way, which could lead me then to fear for myself and for others who in this day are willing to step out in faith and to proclaim the good news. Perhaps, though, you're inspired. Stephen's courage and his willingness to face what was in front of him all the way through to death, perhaps it is for you a moment of inspiration. Or if you're like me, it is maybe a moment of conviction, where you know that your proclamation has not been as clear as Stephen's, and that when you faced these really hard moments, perhaps you haven't been as willing to stand in faith as he was. From the text, though, you have to begin to understand, if you're going to share it, who you are, because you are going to read the scripture through a certain lens, through all the things that have shaped you and how you come to it. And so this is the work I've done this week to say, okay, what are those lenses that I always bring to Scripture? And I always bring to Scripture a notion that God is doing the work of turning the world right side up. That we as people of God are part of the arc of seeking and becoming a more just world. Then, this is a hard thing in the Lutheran context to say, but I believe faith without works is dead. What I would tell you, if we want to use the fancy church language, is that I am a person who likes the third use of the law. That makes sense to two people in the room. Others who are here will say there is no third use of the law, and we can get into an argument. Philip Melanchthon, when Martin Luther said, hey, the good news of our law is that it first convicts you of your sin. We are sinners, each and every one of us, no matter what. Secondly, then, recognizing that, we are so grateful for having Christ. It drives us to the good news and grace of God's love. I, though, really think that it's important for us to catch the so now what that is after that. Because if we stop there, it's good for us as individuals. But I really believe that our God wants us to be good for each other, for our neighbors, and for the whole of the world. And that means then showing up in some of the hardest places, the places of brokenness and pain, the places of suffering and even death, and acknowledging that that's how God works, through vulnerability, through weakness, all the way up to and including the cross, that we are not a place of power except by the works of God. Then you begin to say, okay, if that's who I am, and that's how I read Scripture, how can I begin to say anything into this place where we stand together. The first thing is to acknowledge where we are in our world. We are in the year 2026 and in these United States, which means we have to acknowledge we're as politically and socially divided as we've ever been. And proclaiming the good news in that context takes a particular skill. It acknowledges that we are a wealthy and wonderfully free country, and with that comes all sorts of responsibilities and privilege, but that we're also at war, and that there are people who are struggling with all of those things intermingled. Then when you begin to look at the local context, you have this booming city, growth happening faster than contractors can put up the buildings, which means we also, on the other end, have a struggle with affordable housing and an unhoused and housing endangered population, part of growing and the wrestling that goes with it. We are the largest city in South Dakota, and yet we're in South Dakota, which is a very small state. And so that has implications. Then, within that, we are a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And that means that I've agreed to preach and teach in certain ways, to seek understandings that are in alignment with who we are as a larger people, and that then we have agreed to behave in certain ways. Not that we are forced to, but that we choose to align ourselves with our neighbors who think and live in those same ways. Part of the challenge here in Sioux Falls, though, is recognizing who then we are as Spirit of Joy. One of those truths, Spirit of Joy, is that we think here about Gloria Day and Peace Lutheran. We think about maybe our Savior's in First, but we really think a lot about Central and Embrace. And there's a lot of have and have not conversation, right? And what this is a piece I want for you to hear. If you look at the national understanding of the ELCA, we are in the 5% of largest congregations in the country. We may this year be in the top 2%, like 180 congregations in the country, and the Lutheran Church may be larger than us. We don't feel like that. We have this underdog mentality because we live in this weird Christendom place that looks so differently. But we do this comparison thing. And the trouble there, the struggle, is we have some folks who really want us to grow. And there's that peace in our context. And we have others who really like knowing each other and the size that we are. And it leads then to this challenge of how we continue to grow and be faithful as Spirit of Joy. How do we wrestle with 25% of the people who show up in a week have only been here for the last 5 years or less? What does it mean that I'm not Jeff Isley? I know there are some of you who really would like me to be Jeff. And I know I never can be our founding pastor and a wonderful man. I never will be able to live up to that legacy. All of those come into how do we begin to say something right here in this moment. Stephen misunderstood his audience. His bold proclamation led to his death. It may have been what they needed to hear, but the delivery was one that they could not hear. So, out of this longest sermon in the book of Acts, I want us to look at this is what we do then out of that. We begin to take from Scripture some sense of how we want to understand this message. And what I want you to understand is a single word. In the first verse of what we read today, Stephen gazed. He fixed his eyes. In the midst of his proclaiming, in the midst of his being beaten to the point of death, he never took his eyes off of one thing, and that is Christ and him crucified. Stephen was absolutely able to walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, to proclaim so boldly his message, because at their center and in his focus was Christ crucified. And that is both hope and challenge for each and every one of us. we have the good news that in that moment, Christ is with us. That when we are in those lowest places, the one who answers our prayers and promises to show up keeps his promises. And it is that challenge then to, as we are, keep our eyes on Jesus as we boldly proclaim his good news. So here we are in the craziness of this context, everything that's part of it, from the depth of Scripture through who we are as individuals in this time and place, and all of the messiness of this milieu. And I think that there is truth, that our God is a God of justice, that the story that Stephen told is the story of God turning the world right side up through the people of Israel and his son, Jesus Christ. I think that our God is a God who calls us to love our neighbors in radical ways, to show up for them precisely because of the good news that has been proclaimed to us. And I believe that that means that we walk not in prosperity, not in power, but in humility and weakness, each and every one of us picking up our cross and following Christ Jesus. Together, we keep our eyes on Jesus and him crucified. Amen.